Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is 8 past the hour 1, a big day for this radio station. Anytime regular season baseball returns to WCCO Radio, it is a day of enjoyment, and that's what's happening today. 2:30 pregame show right here on the home of the Minnesota Twins, WCCO Radio. Our next guest, our friend Corey Provis, who's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He's switching to the TV side. He will work with Justin Morneau today in Kansas City. Always a pleasure, my friend. Just one quick question on the transition, because you're probably just talked out of it by this point. I want to talk more about the team. You've worked TV for a long time, you know, Big Ten Network before that, even last year when Dick was dealing with COVID at the start of the year. But now that it's official, that this is your gig full-time as a TV announcer, does it seem different today, or is it just another game where you're broadcasting the Twins and you just got to dress a little bit different? And you know the mechanics of the broadcast is different, but the prep really isn't any different.
So certainly I have a different look about me today. Already people have been asking me, is that rented? Do you have a benefit tonight? But I am going to wear a jacket and tie today. And I do own, you know, a few jackets and a couple of ties. So I didn't need need anybody to tie my own tie. I was able to do that today. But so in terms of preparation, Chad,
would you consider an ascot?
No. I got to draw the line somewhere. That's not going to be my look. It just won't.
Yeah.
But I am preparing. I told myself, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I probably don't need to write this down. I can't do it. I'm still prepping right now the same way as I would if I was doing the game on radio. I would imagine, though, a week from now, a month from now, that will be vastly different. This is just what I know and what I'm comfortable doing, and I don't want to. I'd rather you did games, Chad. I mean, you write down so much, and you maybe use 20% of it, and I'd rather do it that way as opposed to being like, darn it, if I was doing radio, I'd have this number ready, but because I'm on a different medium, mm-hmm. you know, I don't.
That's it.
So that's the way I'm going about it today.
Part of my respect for you, and it's high, is you're great at that. It's still a pet peeve of mine, broadcasters, because, you know, we put in a lot of work for these games, and broadcasters decide, you know what, I worked on this nugget, so I'm working this in no matter what. Pre-game, you can do that. The game then dictates if this nugget, if this piece of information applies. And so if you put in a lot of work, you wait for the game to let that information become available to you, and you're great at that. Okay, let's switch to the game itself, because I know your time is limited. I think the surprise to some of us in the lineup is not Ryan Jeffers in the lineup. That's a given, especially against a lefty. But Jeffers hitting second. What's your reaction to that?
first time in his career ever starting a game in the number two hole. He's hit there before, you know, pinch hitting the way the lineups kind of fluctuate. But today marks his first ever start, you know, hitting in that spot. I think it goes back to the season he had last year. He crushed left-handed pitching. His slugging was well over league average against left-handed pitching. So I think that played into it. I just think the spring he had, and I'm not one that goes too much into spring training, but the guy, you know, put up, you know, big numbers despite going through a family tragedy, which I'm sure you've heard about and read about, and we'll get into a little bit today. It's just an awful situation with what his wife kind of put on Instagram, his wife Lexi, and they lost a child, you know, very, very prematurely. So it's a lot has gone on in this man's life on the field, but more importantly off the field. But he's in a good space. He's in a good frame of mind where he's at right now. But I think getting back to your original point is that he's hitting second today because he was really good last year. He crushed left-handed pitching. He's been great in camp, and I think that's why he's hitting in that two spot today.
This team has an obvious leadoff hitter when Edward Julian is in the lineup, right? When he's going to face right-hand pitching. Because it's a lefty day, it turns out it's Byron leading off. Is this going to be fluid in this area like Rocco normally is? Did you think it'd be Santana? Are we just uncertain, you know, who would lead off and where? You knew Byron would be near the top, but did you think he'd be leading off?
No, I thought that Carlos Santana was going to lead off because he's good at drawing walks. And I thought here's a young starter today in Cole Reagans, his first opening day start, that I thought, all right, how's the command? The emotion's going to be game one, that I thought maybe Santana would make more sense just to get that, you know, get that pitch count up a little bit early. And then maybe we see a more passive, you know, Twins team to see if this guy can throw strikes and then be able to harness those emotions. Well, you know, Rocco's going for, you know, but based on what he saw. And I think what he saw was that Byron Buxton checked every single box, Chad, during spring training. I think with how he played, how he moved, his attitude. And I think that to me was, I'm sure, Rocco's biggest question going into the year. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get? And I think he has to be thrilled, as we all are, that Byron passed all of those tests and he's ready to go. He's going to play his first big league game in center field, Chad, today, in 584 days at the big league level. I mean, it's been 584 days since he last played a big league game in center. So he's bad leadoff today. We're all guessing if he's going to swing at the first pitch. I think he will. I think he's looking for a 97-mile-an-hour heater, and he's going to let that thing fly. We'll find out in a few hours.
Our friend Corey Provis is with us. Twins baseball back on CCO. Chris Atterbury with the call. Corey working with Justin Morneau on TV on Bally's. Okay. Oblique strain. Corey, as someone who's been around sports my entire life, when an athlete has an oblique strain and they tell me it's 2 weeks, I think 4 weeks. If they tell me 4 weeks, I think it's 2 months. What's the concern level with Duran and the oblique strain since he's starting the year on the injured list?
I think it's high because it's not mild. I mean, let's go back to what the official diagnosis is. It's a moderate oblique strain. So I think April's, I would be shocked if he does anything in April. I think you're looking into May, you know, mid-May, maybe. That's kind of, I think, best-case scenario. But there is no reason to rush this, because if they rush this back, if he re-aggravates it, then who knows, it may be over for him, you know, before we really get into the meat of the season. So they are not going to rush this back. They're going to take some time. He's still in Fort Myers, as are some of the other injured players right now. And so not just the injury healing on its own. Now, he's not a starting pitcher, doesn't have to build up that kind of workload, but still he's going to have to kind of do camp over again. He's going to have to build up again and think about all the steps with, you know, throwing bullpens, you know, facing live hitters, get into some minor league games. All that's going to take some time. So if Jawan Duran is at least, you know, at the end of April, if he's pitching in some minor league games or if he's doing those things, then I think you can start to say, okay, we can now really set the timeline as to when he's going to be back. But until that happens, until he gets on the mound, plays catch, throws a bullpen, and is able to leave the next day or that day without any discomfort, I don't even know how you could even put a time frame on it right now until he starts those necessary steps.
Last question, I'll let you go. So, no Duran. No Thielbar, the relief pitcher, Topa. Is that right? And am I forgetting his name?
Yeah, he's
right
out,
now.
Too. Yeah, Justin Topa.
He's out, too. No Sonny Gray, obviously, moved to St. Louis. This team last year, the calling card was stay durable with the starters, have Pablo, Sonny. Joe Ryan, very good parts of the year. Bailey Ober, very good parts of the year. And the bullpen you could count on most of the time. What's your concern level with the, with this pitching staff now compared to the pitching staff you saw that was very good in September and especially good in October?
I feel good about the rotation. I feel good about the starting five. I think the depth will be tested, you know, certainly as the season plays out. Yes, last year, Chad, the Twins used 10 starters. The big league average was about 12.5. The year before, they used 14. So I think what Sonny and Pablo did last year was remarkable. They combined for, 65, 68 starts, whatever it was. That's incredible. So can Joe Ryan do that? Can Bailey Ober do that? Bailey, a guy that got through healthy for the first time in his career last year as well. You know, I think Louis Varland has the makeup just physically. He's a bull. I mean, he's strong. I mean, he's a guy that I don't worry too much about physically. You know, Chris Paddock, they're certainly going to be watching coming back from his injury. So I feel good about the starting five. Beyond that, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson looked great at camp. He's going to begin at AAA, but the depth is certainly going to be tested when a starter or two goes down. To me, what's worth watching with the Twins bullpen to begin the year, Jacks and Stewart, or Stewart and Jacks, eighth, ninth inning, that's going to be fine. But now the ad-libbing in between, you know, Pablo's not going nine innings today. You know, Pablo maybe goes five, maybe goes six, but then the guys that Rocco and Pete Mackey and Colby Suggs, they're going to use probably as that in that hybrid kind of role, that bridge role before you get to Jacks and Stewart. These are going to be guys that probably when spring training opened up were not going to be asked to be in those spots. So that's the one area I think worth watching here early on until they get Thielbar back, until they get Topa back, that those bridge guys, those setup guys, that fifth, sixth, seventh inning role, that to me is going to be worth watching here because it's not just going to be one or two guys.
Thank you, sir. Have a great call. Know you will, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Chad. Thanks, buddy.
Corey Provis on Bally's with Justin Morneau, Chris Atterbury, and Dan Gladden right here on the Home of the Twins CCO. Before we go and I tell you about Pella, okay, give me your one word to describe how you feel about the impending, and I mean it's pending, Dave. I don't know, is it impending or is it pending right now? You know? It's close, man.
Are you referring to the season itself?
Yeah.
It's
right
not,
there.
It's not pending. It's happening. It's impending. It's looming.
When do you go from pending to impending?
I think pending would mean it still hangs in the balance whether it's going to happen or not. Impending means we've got – it's kind of like a Timberwolves sale. It was impending. Now it's more pending.
Or a Timberwolves controversy is always impending. Right?
Correct.
I mean, you don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something.
Yes.
So give me your one word to describe your feelings for this upcoming Twins season. This upcoming season, which is, heck, less than 2 hours away. Give me your one word. Or if you want to elaborate, you want to go multiple words, you can. Your one word to describe your thoughts on this upcoming Twins season. 651-461-9226.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Miller is 10 minutes away. The Twins season is about 100 minutes away. In Kansas City, every pitch, every bit of excitement, every minute of despair, all of it heard right here on Newstalk 830 WCC. Okay, 651-461-9226. More sports than normal today, but plenty of it's on the business side. You know, the Wolves story, we started the show with John Krasinski and with Glenn, is not about what's going on court. It's going on the other court, maybe where we're headed. Dave Harrigan, one word. You have one word to describe how you feel regarding this upcoming Minnesota Twins season. What is your word? Let's play the game.
I want to do a hyphenation if I could.
Sure.
I'm nervous, cheater. Nervously enthusiastic.
Yeah, that's cheating.
A little bit. You know. But you said we could cheat.
Yeah. Well, you're good at it.
Not really sure what that means, but thank you. I'll take any compliment you give me. It would have been enthusiastic, but, man, the injuries are putting a damper on that. When you talk about the oblique, not a mild oblique,
mm-mm.
And you see this many pitchers down to start the season, yeah, there's nervousness about that. You can't hide that.
Yeah, when we raised a version of this, what was it, like 3-4 weeks ago, I was more optimistic about the ball club. And a lot of that was driven by the bullpen. All the options they have. And the biggest is their main stud, Duran. And what he can do and what a weapon he is. Yes, primarily closing the game, but eighth inning, you're facing fill in the blank, and their stud hitters are up, and you still have maybe Stewart or Jax or even Thielbar available behind him. Here comes Duran in the eighth inning. I'm telling you, those oblique strains. Find me the story where a guy came back sooner from the oblique strain. It never happens.
Yeah.
And they linger and linger. And two other guys in the bullpen, not there. And I think Corey is a little bit more optimistic. Well, in fact, he is more optimistic than I am about the starters. Lopez. Now, can Lopez be as good as he was last year, this year? That's a hell of an achievement if he gets there. You know, he had the great start. Then he had, what was it, about 6 weeks or so, would you say, when he just he struggled.
Yeah.
And then was just fantastic the second half of the season. Is that a given? Because that year hasn't been a given for Pablo's entire career. Now, the sweeper became a part of his life last year, and that changed it. I think Ober is going to be very good. I really do. What about Ryan? Ryan, it looked like a great trade. He was super. Then he goes the complete game last year, and he never was the same. I don't think you can have a really good feel for Joe Ryan. That's my point. If you have a few of these question marks, I think the lineup is going to be very good. I'm going to be very surprised if the lineup isn't very good. And that's if Byron plays, I don't know, 100 games, 90 games, 80 games. They're just not as Byron dependent. They're way better with Byron. So I guess I go intrigued. I'm still I still think they're going to be well worth paying attention to. But my optimism is just not as high as it was a few weeks ago for all the reasons I stated. Does that make sense?
It does. Intrigued is a cop-out, though.
Oh, I find it interesting.
That's lame.
You used two words that don't go together and hyphenated them, and that's not a cut? That's not a cop-out?
It wasn't a cop-out. It was brilliant. You don't hear those two words together often. Yeah, that was, whoa, what's Harrigan coming with?
Wow, yeah. Where was I when I first heard? Buckle up, man. Let down. Typical. Optimism. Disappointed. Excited. Nervous. All words. Let's pause. Glenn Taylor, what exactly is going on today with the sale, not the sale? What happens next? What's his reaction? What Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez had to say? Glenn Taylor is minutes away on CCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
We are calling Glenn Taylor. I've chatted with him once, exchanged texts, chatted with Glenn an hour ago, confirming this time. Right now, going to voicemail. This happens all the time. Talk radio. We firmly expect Glenn to join us rather soon. Dave is efforting that cause right now. The Wolves in the middle of significant business news today when Glenn Taylor, through the Timberwolves and Lynx, announced that he will continue as the majority owner of the team, that a window has passed for Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry to own the team. The Lowry and Rodriguez group not pleased with how this has played out. Part of what they offered up from a spokesperson after the announcement from Glenn Taylor was this: we are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all the necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season. We had John Krasinski on at the start, and John and others seem to be are reporting a difference on what Glenn believes should have been completed by the 27th and what Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry seem to think needed to be completed. We had this announcement in the last few weeks about another funding source for Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, which added to their optimism that they had their liquidity, they had their financing in order, and needed to appear in front of the Board of Governors. There is a meeting of the NBA owners coming up next month, and they felt they were in a position to be approved and to take over from Glenn Taylor to buy the next 40% and to become the majority owners. But then this surprising announcement came out today in a statement from the Wolves organization saying that the deal is not going to go through. We now have Glenn on the line. We appreciate his time. Glenn Taylor is with us, like all our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. I want to try to be as precise as possible. When we're talking about the March 27th deadline, Glenn, what exactly did Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez need to show you, and what didn't they show you compared to the requirements that you believe were set in the contract?
So back in December, they had to notify us if they wanted to complete the deal. They said at that time they sent us a formal letter from their attorney saying that they wanted to complete the deal. And I think they picked February 28th as the date that they wanted the closing on. That was acceptable. All that was acceptable to us, and we assumed that it would happen. But February 28th came and went past. The NBA had contacted them before that and said that if you're going to close on February 28th, you've got to get us documentation, list of investors, and et cetera. They never did that, so February 28th came. So then they said they would they could extend it for 90 days. So they said, well, instead of February, we'll do March 27th. So, again, we expected it all to happen on March 27th. But, again, you know, time went on. We wrote to them and said we're waiting for documentation for the closing and stuff. We heard that that they were having trouble raising the money and et cetera, et cetera. But then the 27th came, and they never closed and did anything. And the agreement that we have with them says, you know, that if they don't have it done by then, that our commitment to them and their commitment to us is void. So we just called that and said that the time has passed. They haven't been able to get it done. And so we just said we'll go on the way we have been. And that is that those two, along with other people, are my limited partners, and I'll be the controlling interest, as I've always been, and we'll just continue that way.
When earlier this month they announced they had another funding source, did you believe that they then closed their deal, that they had the money, and did you believe the transaction was going to be complete because of that announcement?
Well, they announced, not to us, but we heard that they said that they had the money raised. And we had no reason not to believe them. But, I mean, we expected to get written applications saying that the stock would be bought and stuff like that. But we never received that. But we heard indirectly that they had that, and there was no reason for us not to believe that. But as it turned out, it didn't work out.
Let me read you the statement to get you to react. I just read it, but I want to give you one more chance to hear it and our audience to hear it. This is what Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez put out after your announcement that the window has passed. We are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all the necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season. When you hear that, when you first heard that hours ago, what was your reaction?
No, I don't have any hard feelings or good feelings about it at all. I expect them to say something like that. It's strictly a business deal. You know, they set the dates, and they didn't fulfill the dates that they said they were going to have the information done. They're the ones that set March 27th, and we expect them to fulfill that. And if they don't do it, we already moved it once from February to March, so it isn't that we weren't flexible. We were. But I have an obligation to my other stockholders and people, too, that that we follow our commitments.
When they directly say to you, this is you, they're accusing you of seller's remorse, what's your reaction to that particular accusation?
Well, I don't think I have seller's remorse. I just think that right now things are going well. We allowed them to come in and purchase at a very competitive price. so they'll financially come well, do well. I have other limiteds. This allow the my other limiteds to get a better return on their investment. So I don't think it's that. I think it's just business, and I think it'll help everybody all along. I think that things are going well at the Timberwolves office. This allows all the employees that are there that have worked for me for all these years, knowing that they have security in their jobs, and I think that's important to me.
Glenn, if they, either directly to you or their attorneys, would have reached out to you in the days before the March 27 deadline and said, we have the funding, but according to you, we don't have all the paperwork. If they would have asked you for another extension, would you have granted that to them?
Well, it's more complicated than that. I don't know the answer to your question. Certainly we would have considered it.
If they approach you today, if Mark Lori or Alex Rodriguez calls you and said, we still want to complete this transaction, we want to get this done, are you willing to listen to them still?
We'll listen to them, but I doubt if we'll be successful in reviving it.
How come?
Because I think the way we're going and the way we're running the team now and the people we have in place and everything, it's going very well, and I don't want to disrupt it.
Glenn Taylor's with us. Just a couple more minutes, and we'll let him go. Do you think, is there any frustration on your end that when you made this decision to start, that Mark and Alex did not live up to the financial commitment that they provided you with and told you they had when you first announced 3 years ago this sale process was going to take place?
Well, let me be very kind of vague on that. There's a problem in that area, but I don't want to get into specifics exactly, but that potentially caused us some problems.
I think a lot of us from afar, Glenn, look at this and hear what you're saying and then read these statements from Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez and believe we're headed to some level of litigation. Do you think we're headed that way?
Well, I hope not, but I just think as a business person that I know that that's always open to a possibilities, and we're prepared for that. We always have to assume all the good things and bad things that can happen. And I don't know. I think some things have happened, you know, that we had anticipated. You know, Mark got involved with his company, and he needed to spend all this time, and he stopped communicating with me over all this last year. And, you know, and I know why. I mean, he had a business, he had a run and stuff like that. So things changed on their part too, as to how much they could be involved and take care of the team. In the meantime, instead of really getting involved in the team, they allowed me to continue to run it as I've always run it, and I was glad to do so. And it has worked well with them being limited and my being the controlling interest. It's working well, so I don't know why they wouldn't want to keep it that way, because I think that way they'll get the best return on their investment.
When is the last time that you and Mark communicated? And do you believe the lack of communication was just tied to his involvement in businesses, or was it in any way tied to this transaction?
No, and probably in the last year, the only times that I've talked to Mark is he's come to some games, and whenever he or Alex has come to the game, I always make it a point of saying hi to all them, but we never talked about the basketball stuff. It was more a social thing. He had other friends around him and stuff like that. I just would say, you know, help him, you know, how's your family and how's things going and stuff like that. He has a.
So was there any hostility in any way?
Never. I never had any with him. it's always been the, actually, I think, you know, both guys, especially Alex is kind of a hugger like I am. And I think we always kind of patted each other in the back and stuff like that there. And Mark is more, let's say, serious than the other two of us and stuff like that. But it was always friendly.
This was a sale for an extraordinary amount of money, $1.5 billion. But you know better than me, this team, because of the team's success, the sale of other teams, television contract is, that is up, that this team might be worth double that. Did that play any part in your decision today?
Well, partly so, because this payment that would have been made this time doesn't go to me so much. It goes to all my limited partners that have been with me for 40 years. So it's, you know, it's how much they get. And so I have a responsibility to them that if I have an agreement with a third party to sell the thing and then things get changed, I have a responsibility to my limited to get the best deal that I can for them. So it isn't money that's going into my pocket so much. It's money that will be going into there for their investment that they made on the team. So I have responsibility to more than just Mark and Alex. I have a responsibility to those who have been on this ride for the last 40 years.
Do you have any desire now to look for other potential majority owners, or is that put off to the side?
Well, I would say that I'm going to stand by that the team is not for sale, but you know, there's always people that show interest and stuff like this here. But at this point in time, I think I'm going to concentrate on that I'm the controlling interest and keep that. And if there's some limiteds that still want to sell their partnership, I will help them find other owners who may want to come in.
But you believe the majority owners will not be Mark Lorre and Alex Rodriguez?
I don't think so. I think we've passed that, Mark.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're very welcome.
Glenn Taylor on News Talk 830 WCCO. What time do you want me to stop talking here again?
If you could go 58:35, but yeah, I know you do what you do.
I have to recap this a little bit, don't I? I thought the end, when I asked him if the franchise doubling in worth was part of the reason for this, when he said, you know, partially so, I have to think of my other partners, I think Mark Lorre and Alex Rodriguez might pay close attention to that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have big differences between the parties on what you had to provide on March 27th. You know, that's a huge part of it. It seems clear he feels like he offered them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I thought his non-answer on what money they have and haven't had is a key part of it. The lack of dialogue between himself and Mark Lorre, I think, stood out. And then, maybe the subtle headline of the interview, he and Alex like to hug.
I don't think there's any subtlety in that. They love a good hug, and Lori's more of a, you know, handshake, elbow bump kind of guy.
I think the hugging might be done.
I think
just
once
me?
A hugger, always a hugger.
I don't know between those two. When do you want me to stop talking now?
You know, why don't you just go to about 30 more seconds here? It would be great.
Just go to 35?
Yes, do that.
Okay. Can we just give these commercials to the Twins? Like, right, let's say it's late in the game. Twins are up 7-1. We'll just play like a California Psychics commercial. Is that possible? Yes. And will I go this weekend, my final weekend here? If I don't, it's a major failure. Twins baseball, next hour on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.